At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to the OHO podcast, everybody. Your host, Buckhead Boggs, that man over there. That is the wild man, Chris Wilds, and you are you. And we thank you for coming in and watching our Nebraska Cornhuskers 2024 season preview, Chris. The season's only a week away. And boy, we may have saved one of the more interesting teams here for the end of this. We got started all the way back in the middle of June because we knew getting through 18 teams was going to be a challenge. But we've almost made it. This is team number 16. We have two more to go, and then we will be done with this exercise. And Nebraska, my friend, there's a lot of energy in Lincoln, my friend. A lot of energy. What do you think, man? Before we dive in and we bring on the common fan and interview them and we break down their roster and their schedule, just going into the season, what are your thoughts about the Cornhuskers? Are you kind of on this hype train?
I am. I mean, I love what they've got on defense. I love Matt Rhule. I think he's a great coach. I think he's going to bring the program back to prominence. And you know what? I'm excited to see what they have at quarterback in the one-time Ohio State transfer, Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
You know?
What is it about Matt Rhule that is so likable? I love the guy.
He is. He's got everybody drinking the Rhulade, Eric. I mean, come on.
Goodness sakes. Like, I love Ryan Day. Don't get me wrong. I think Ryan Day's really going to turn a lot of people's opinion about him around this season. But Matt Rhule is like
there's just an energy
really
about
cool
him.
Dude,
there's
man.
Yeah. There's an energy about him. He's very, charismatic. I can see why he succeeds as a coach, because he's going to get the buy-in of his players.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I thought, and I had this discussion with the common fan, which you all are going to experience here in just a few minutes. I thought when Scott Frost went there, he was going to be the one.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. But when they hired Matt Rhule, I thought, good hire? I didn't realize it was going to be this good. And this is coming off a losing season, mind you, that the national opinion of this guy is what it is, man.
Well, you look at what he did in that first season, Eric. I mean, he took a program that was really, really struggling, really down on its luck, that was constantly finding a way to lose the close games. And in his first year, he nearly made him bowl eligible.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you're going to see, just one of those close games would have turned it all around for them. They would have been in the bowl game. All right, man, let's check this out real fast. Let's take a look at how they did last year in 2023 as well as the Cornhuskers historically. They started off on the road at Minnesota on a Thursday night game. It was, man, what an exciting game to watch. Not a lot of scoring, but such a Big Ten game. I remember tweeting, this is the quintessential Big Ten game. They lose 13-10 to PJ Fleck on the road. Again, this is one of three games that they lost by 3 points, and then another one they lost in overtime. Four games that they let kind of slip away. Actually, sorry, I take that back. Michigan State was a three-point loss too. Four games they lost by 3 points and an overtime loss. So five of those seven L's were so close. The only two that really weren't were the loss at Colorado in week two and the loss against the eventual national champions, who probably cheated. And so you've got the win against Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech in the non-conference after the big L to Neon Deion, which I think they're going to avenge this year. And then they had a win against Illinois, a win against Northwestern, which ended up being a really nice win for them, and a win against Purdue. And then look at those last four losses to end the season. Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa, all super close. 6.5 mm-hmm. last year. I actually think Vegas was like on the money with that. Like this was probably a 6-win team, 7-win team, somewhere around there. We said take the under. We were right, Chris, in doing that. And we both, I remember when we did our preview last year, we both said give them a year before we say bowl eligible. And I think we were right in our assessment, but my gosh, were they so close knocking on the door. And then let's take a look at them historically. Of course, Memorial Stadium there in Lincoln, Nebraska, 85,458 screaming Cornhusker fans. It is on my bucket list to go. I've never been to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Would love to take a road trip there at one point in my life. They have 917 wins to 424 losses and 40 ties. And then they have a 25-27 bowl record, or excuse me, 26-27 bowl record, 46 conference titles. Chris, is Nebraska a blue blood school?
Arguably.
Borderline?
Yeah, they're borderline. I'll tell you what, had you asked me this at the height of the Tom Osborne era, I say yes. The last decade, two decades since Tom Osborne has left, it's been very up and down, especially since Pelini left. It's been kind of on the downside. But I think that's going to change, and I think it won't be long before they're back in the conversation of the Blue Bloods again.
In college Eric, football playoff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that stretch of four games they had at the end of the season last year. Michigan State's the only one I think that they've got room to be really upset about. The other three, there's no shame in those losses. Maryland was a pretty good team last year with Talia. Wisconsin, yeah, they're up and coming, but they, pretty decent team. And then Iowa represented the West in the conference championship game. I mean, and why they don't have a whole lot of offense, Iowa doesn't. They hung right there with them and went punch for punch with Iowa. So this is a gutsy team, Eric. It's a gritty team. It's a team that I think is going to do much better this year.
I agree. All right, we're going to go to our common fan interview. These guys are great, dude. I have liked these guys from the moment I met them, which was late winter last year, early spring. And have developed a really, really nice relationship with these guys and their podcast. They are going places, very similar feel and vibe in their podcast to what we have. And as you're going to hear, a bet was made and a new rivalry trophy was born. So, and you're going to enjoy this. We'll be right back after this interview. And welcome back to the OHL Podcast, everybody. I'm Buckeye Boggs. I'm joined now by TJ Burkle. He is the host of The Common Fan for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, our sister site on the College Huddle. TJ, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be a lot of fun.
This is going to be a lot of fun because TJ and I are a lot alike. We think a lot alike, and although our teams are not a lot alike. And however, there was a day in time, TJ. They were.
That's right.
But you're getting back there, and that's
we're gonna
the
be getting
thing,
back there.
Man.
That's right. That's
the thing. You guys have a starting quarterback this season who at one time, believe it or not, Buckeye fans, Nebraska fans are going to know this, he was committed to Ohio State, the number one player in the nation in the 2024 class. He then decommitted from Ohio State, decided he was going to transfer for a fourth time in high school to the state of Georgia, where he committed to the Bulldogs, and then decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go where my family roots are, and that's Lincoln, Nebraska. And he's your starting quarterback. Of course, I'm talking about Dylan Raiola. And the buzz surrounding what he brings to Nebraska, along with year two of Matt Rhule, is palpable. It is not just something that's happening in the state of Nebraska. It's not just something that's happening in the Midwest and Big Ten country. This thing has taken national roots, and there are a lot of people who aren't Nebraska fans who are sipping on that big red Kool-Aid, my friend.
Absolutely. So there it is. There it is. Get in the camera. I'm going to take a sip of the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah. Here's the thing. You're not wrong. I mean, you got Joel Klatt out there saying we're a borderline playoff team.
And that's the enemy right there.
Right.
That's a former Buff. That's man.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I think Joel's one of the best at what he does. Don't get me wrong. I think that the national media types also know that engaging with Nebraska fans will get you lots of engagement. And so take that for what it's worth. And I think the only reason, like, look, everyone, look, we're trying not to overdo on the Common Fan podcast. We're trying not to overdo the expectations for Raiola. We've got him slated for two Heismans right now. If he comes back, you know, if he's there, you know, for 3 years, he probably wins three Heismans. If he's there for 4 years, he probably wins four. So we try not to overdo it.
Right.
But in all seriousness, I mean, you know, I don't know how close Ohio State fans, how close attention they paid to the Frost era, but I mean, it felt like every year it was like, well, now he's got it figured out and we're going to turn the corner. And we never even got to 6-6 in a bowl game. And so that, like, that will never stop being shocking to me, Eric, you know, just that the Frost era played out that way. And it wasn't even just average. It was just bad. And so I think Husker fans were, you know, 7 years now, without a winning season, 7 years without a bowl game. That's unheard of in the history of Nebraska football. And you hinted at it a little bit, but when I was growing up, when we were all, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even if we're not winning national championships, we're consistently winning the conference, whether it was the Big 8, the Big 12, the big, you know, I guess we never won the Big 10, but we're consistently relevant. We're consistently in the top 25. And so this recent stretch has just been brutal. And so suddenly, there's hope. There's belief in Matt Rhule. There's belief in Dylan Raiola. And to your point, I mean, I think there's a belief that we're going to turn a corner this year. I think it depends on the Husker fan. You know, we've asked this question now to our last two guests on our podcast. Have we reached the point because of the offseason hype where 6-6 in a bowl game would be a disappointment? Even though we haven't been to a bowl game in 7 years, but I think we've reached the point where fans are expecting, I think 7-5 would be a disappointment. I think fans are expecting 8-4. They're expecting 9-3. And so those old Husker expectations of greatness are not too far below the surface.
Now, before we ask the next question, I'm going to bring in your tag team partner here.
There he is. He must have gotten the kids in bed in time.
No, they're still awake.
All right. Well, you must have got the kids in front of the iPads at least.
So I gotta ask you, Geoff. Welcome to the program, by the way, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're only 8 minutes late, Jeff. It's not that.
Now bad. Only. Yeah.
So are these little Irish or little Huskers running around the house?
It's a hybrid of both. You can ask each one.
It's
of
It's a hybrid. Oh room. My gosh, they're yeah. Irish Huskers. Oh my goodness.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, you know, we battle this on a regular basis, Eric. As you know, Geoff was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska. He is a Nebraska fan. He is a co-host of our Nebraska Fan podcast, and somehow he keeps bringing up this Notre Dame BS. And we can't shake it. He grew up in a Notre Dame household, so we try to be patient with it, but sometimes we just have to tell him to shut up.
At least once an episode. I'm used to it by now.
Gotcha. Okay. So you haven't missed much, Geoff. But it's great to have you both with me tonight as we preview Nebraska season. Now, we're talking storylines. So let's get into a little bit. You mentioned it, TJ. And by the way, if you haven't, fans, go check out the Reckoning series these guys put out. It is by far the most fantastic off-season content by a podcast I have seen to date. I really do mean that. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
I learned more about the history of Nebraska and how we got to where you guys are at than what ESPN could do.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Fantastic job, guys.
Thank you very much.
So go check that out, guys. And you can go – in fact – TJ wrote articles about all of them too. So you can go over to the College Huddle, go to thecollegehuddle.com, go to the Nebraska page, and they're all right there for you. You can read them. All the videos are connected. It's right there at your fingertips if you want to check that out. But I say that to say this. I remember when Scott Frost got hired, and I remember going, uh-oh, they got a dude.
We all thought that.
We got a dude. Mm-hmm. And to your point, TJ, I'm shocked. I think everybody's shocked that it didn't work out. So I say that to ask this question. And I'll let you go first, TJ, since you brought it up, and then Geoff, you can jump in when TJ's done. Is there some PTSD here that gets placed on Matt Rhule because of what has happened with Scott Frost?
I think there is. And I think that Rhule has been pretty good about addressing it head on and talking about it and trying to root it out almost. I mean, if you look at, so before Frost, there was the Mike Riley era, which was the hire that probably made the least sense in the post Tom Osborne era. And I won't go down that rabbit hole because it's only going to make me mad. So we hired Mike Riley from Oregon State. He had two losing seasons in two out of his three seasons. And interestingly, like people might forget, the sort of close losses and the turnover issues like were prevalent in the Riley era. And so like that started in probably 2015, where Riley went 5-7 and realistically at worst should have been 7-5, 8-4. Just like we talk about this all the time on our show. There's games you could have won and games you should have won. And like there were games we just absolutely gave away in Riley's first year. But anyway, so then Frost takes over and it's like we're back to the promised land. I don't know if it'll be Big Ten championships or national championships, but we are back. And it just never materialized, Eric. And on top of that, it was so – I think we got the record for close one-score losses. Just the most – we kept finding new ways to lose, back-breaking turnovers, you know, ridiculous punts to the wrong side of the field, you know, when our defense completely shut down Kenneth Walker III and then gave the punt, the special teams gave up a punt return for a touchdown and against Michigan State. So I could go on and on about these examples, but it does feel like this is a program-wide issue going back multiple coaching staffs, an inability to close close games, an inability to fix the turnover problem, et cetera, et cetera. And so the way the schedule lines up this year, the talent that we have this year, I think, you know, for the defense, we think is going to be good again. For a lot of reasons, I think Husker fans believe we can start turning the corner this year. I think what remains to be seen, Eric, and I'll be curious what Geoff thinks about this, what remains to be seen is, does that mean 6-6 or 7-5? Does that mean 9-3? Somewhere in between? And like, what will fans be happy with? Because Husker fans still have, like, from the glory days, Husker fans still have Ohio State level expectations. If not like immediately, the first time we go 8-4 or 9-3, the next year is going to be, okay, then when you win in the, like, what have you done for me lately kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And when you say PTSD, I would say that's a good comparison just because, I mean, there's been national media pundits that have even said, like, if Scott Frost couldn't save Nebraska, who the hell can? Like, he should have been the guy to do it. Who the hell else can do this? And we actually had an episode of our podcast that compared this season to the 2019 Scott Frost season, which if anybody's listened to it, it's eerily similar. So there is some PTSD there. Favorable schedules both years. We played Colorado the second game, second-year head coaches, quarterback with a lot of hype. But I will say that along with that PTSD, this season does, I think it does feel different. And I think it's because of the five-star quarterback this year. Just, I don't know what it is. It's that aspect of it. It changed everything for me when it comes to this year being different than years prior. But I won't lie to you. I am of the mindset of the common fans that these two are diehards. I'm a reasonable human being. And so I want to show me what you can and I'll believe it when I see it type of thing. But I don't know, after saying all that, we're probably going to go 11-1 and I can't wait. It's
going to be awesome. Well, I love that, GF. One more thing I would say, Eric, sorry, is just, I think another reason for optimism is, you know, we were number 11, I think, in total defense last year. So Rhule's a defensive minded guy. He showed up. Defensive coordinator Tony White flipped the script on defense right away. That was something that Scott Frost appeared never to prioritize, and Mike Riley appeared never to prioritize. And so it's always driven me nuts. Like, in my belief, Nebraska should always be a defense first program. And I think we're getting back to that under Coach Rule. And so we said it so many times last year, we were 117th in total offense last year. So we said so many times, like, we're not asking for excellence. We're just asking for competence on offense. Give me a top 50 or 60 offense, and we probably win two or three more games last year. And so I think the excitement is with the defense brings back just about everybody. They're expected to be as good or better. The schedule lines up pretty well. And so I think the hope is, even if you're, if you can find a rational minded Husker fan, the hope is, if the offense can take a step or two forward, that should be good for about three more wins, right? And then the ball bounces, the ball bounces your way a couple of times. Maybe it's more than that.
Beautiful. I can't believe I'm about to bring this up, but I got to, because I don't think the people who watch this who are Ohio State fans are going to be shocked by this. But one of the things I learned through watching your The Reckoning, I did not realize how close Urban Meyer was to going to Lincoln, Nebraska, as opposed to Gainesville, Florida. And that would have been holy Toledo. How, like, there's an alternate universe out there somewhere where Batman's probably real and Urban Meyer won the national championship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay?
Let me be clear. Like, that may only be close in Nebraska fans' minds. Okay. But the interesting hypothetical to me was, we fired Frank Solich in 2003, and that was about a year early in terms of Urban Meyer's sort of rise as sort of the hot commodity in college football coaching circles, because I think he went to Florida after the 04 season. So the interesting hypothetical that was floated by one of our guests was, what if we had, because Solich went 9-3 that year that he got fired in 03. What if we had let him stay one more year? The schedule was tougher in 04. The talent wasn't great. What if he had gone 6-6 in 04 or whatever it would, I can't remember if we were playing 11 or 12 games back then, but like, what if he had had a dip in 04 and then we had fired him then instead and brought Urban Meyer? That made my head explode. I will agree with that.
Yeah.
But
my head did explode. The rest of the day, I was walking around the office mumbling to myself. I thought they were going to call the paddy wagon on me, because they're like, what's wrong with Eric? Because I'm sitting there going, Urban Meyer was in Lincoln. He could have been a Cornhusker. What would have happened to Ohio State? Like, all these things are going through my mind.
I know. Like, but it's also like, it probably sounds silly now, but we were, you know, after the 04 season, we would have been 7 years removed from a national championship, but only 3 years removed from playing for a national championship. So like, we were still Nebraska at that point. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't think it would have been crazy to think that he would have considered that job. But in fairness, I'm not sure in terms of the timelines, how close it really was, to be honest.
Gotcha. All right. Are there any other major storylines going into the season that we should be made aware of?
I think of an important storyline is that Geoff has been calling for Nebraska to upset Ohio State October 26th in Columbus. He's been saying that all year long.
Yeah.
He's been saying it since
January.
I was going to wait to the end to bring this up. since you did already, DJ. Geoff, are you willing to double down and make a bet with me?
What's the wager? I suppose I gotta know what I'm betting here.
Merch. I have sitting in front of me a beautiful OHIO podcast beanie that I will, if Ohio State wins, I will gladly send to you for free. That you will then have to put on that melon of yours and record the very next show wearing an OHIO podcast
beanie. I'm in. You're not saying anything else. I'm in.
Okay, now on the flip side, if, and this probably is very unlikely to happen, but if the stars align, Geoff, and Dylan Raiola has the game of his life, and Ohio State falls flat on their face, and you upset the Buckeyes, you can send me any piece of merchandise.
All right.
Be creative.
Okay. And I'll do that.
I will wear it on the show. That
are we recording right now? Do we have this? All right, great.
Yeah. And, okay, and I am a large man. So there you go. This.
Okay. G-off. I'm down with that. All right.
All right. That being said, we have here, I'll show you. We have a rivalry trophy with the Boiler Express podcast. It's Ken? Half Purdue, half Ohio State. This trophy goes to the winner. I am going to also recommend that the Common Fan and the OHIO podcast create a rivalry trophy.
Okay.
I love this.
I think that's a great idea.
It will be a bobblehead of Geoff's face in Nebraska overalls wearing a Brutus t-shirt. Are you down, Geoff, for this for this rivalry trophy?
I'm down with this.
I'll vote yes. I like this idea.
All right. We will
call it the Geoff Memorial Trophy. How about that?
I love it.
Could the trophy sculptor take a little bit of creative license and kind of bulk up Geoff's arms? Because he's a pretty skinny little guy. So could we help him out on the trophy?
I don't know if we can buff up his arms, but we'll give him Boggsy's belly. How about that? We'll give him my belly and it'll be the greatest trophy of all time.
You might be interested to know, Eric, at 42 years old, Geoff weighs about 95 pounds. So you can imagine. You can imagine how he was a freshman year of high school in 1997. He was the up back on our freshman football team. So he was the guy calling the cadence. Ready!
I led us into battle.
Yes.
Straight into battle.
He was our leader on special teams. At St. Pius X Central Catholic High School in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Decleated every time.
Year of our Lord, 1997.
Yeah, every time, just decleated.
I can just about see the linebackers. They let women play at the Catholic school? What's going on here, man?
I've had enough of you, Boggs.
All right. I knew this show would get off the rails. Let's get it back on. All right, real fast. Let's fly through these. Any roster changes that we need to be aware of? Any guys who left, graduated, transferred, that were big players, and how did you guys go about replacing them? Obviously, everybody knows the quarterback now. We've already addressed that. But what else, guys?
The biggest thing I would say on that front, Eric, and I think there's a lot of reasons. We return a ton of junior and senior guys on the defense, and I think the defense will still be really good. But we lost Nick Henrich and Luke Reimer, two like stalwart linebackers, both Nebraska boys, would always be up there leading the team in tackles. And I don't know what's with the balloons again. Anytime I do counting or numbers, I think. Anyway, so those are not like insignificant losses in the linebacking core for Nebraska, coupled with Javen Wright, who's a senior this year. His dad, Toby Wright, was on some of the great teams in the 90s. Great athlete, had a great year last year. It was just announced that he's out for sort of an undefined amount of time. So we didn't get any specifics on that, but he's battled blood clot issues in the past. So there's some speculation that maybe some of those issues have cropped back up. Also a linebacker. And so a little bit concerning, we have several sort of veteran, we have a great combination on the defensive line of some good veteran guys and some young up and comers. The secondary, I think, is in pretty good shape. We like what we have in the linebacker room, but I do wonder if we're going to notice between missing Reimer and Henrich and then Javen Wright. Now, they did say about Javen Wright, it should be short-ish term and he should be back at some point. So we'll see. But I think those are the biggest things on offense. Candidly, on offense, if there was anybody who left, that's, you know, just another human being showing up would be an upgrade. So, you know, Geoff showing up on offense might be an upgrade from last year.
Get ready, Nebraska! 242! Omaha!
So there's not much to say on
Oscar set. Let's go.
So it's really, and on D again, I think overall the expectation is the defense will be really good again, but I'm a little concerned about the linebacker spot.
Gotcha. Okay, so that being said, I'll kick it to you first, Geoff. That being said, what do you perceive as being the strength? And take your Nebraska glasses off here and be brutally honest. What is the weakness of this team, given roster, coaching staff, year two? What do we got?
Strength is obviously going to be the defense with everybody that's coming back with Nash Hutmacher, the polar bear, Isaac Gifford. I mean, I can't remember what our rank was last year, all defense, but we're pretty damn good, and we brought a lot of players back. So I think that we're going to be really, really good in that regard. I can be critical of Nebraska. That's the one thing, is that these guys, they put on their Nebraska Husker football fan
Oh,
hat
really,
and
really,
they
Jeff?
follow blindly. I will say that I don't think we know exactly who our running back is yet. So we got to kind of wait and see who that's going to be, that breakout star. Offensive line, I'm hoping that they're going to be a lot better this year, but you never know. It's been one of those things that's always been an issue for us in the past. And then special teams. This is something that's a big unknown right now. There's a lot of talk going on that our special teams might not be quite up to par where we need to be. And just on one of our shows today, in the Big Ten, if your special teams struggle, you're in trouble. So that's something that if we have to be concerned, I would say that's probably pretty far at the top of the list, actually, special teams.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with everything Jeff said. I would double down on the special teams point. And I think that while we expect Nebraska to be better this year, we don't expect them to be so much better that we're winning games by 14 or 21 points and little special teams errors don't matter. And
Right.
so, like, we're going to be in situations where we need to take the 3 points when we need the 3 points. And sadly, that hasn't
You
been a
have to make
given.
those.
That wasn't a given last year, and
Right.
it's been too regular of an occurrence where that hasn't been a given. So Tristan Alvano is an in-state kid. He kicked, like, in the Nebraska high school state championship game a couple of years ago, he kicked like 5 40-plus yard field goals, and it was a huge get for Nebraska. Struggled a little bit last year as a true freshman. He's kind of forced into duty. The concern this year is he's had some injury issues with his groin. Last time I checked, you need your groin to kick. And so I think, like, that's the concern, is that
Breaking
one
insight from TJ Bergo from the Common Man. You need a groin if you're going to kick.
and listen, I got a D in anatomy and physiology, and even I know that much. And so there's another guy, I can't remember, he's transferred from Iowa Western, like, who nobody's ever heard of. So we just have no idea. And
Yeah, question mark.
we're not going to be good enough to, like, if it's 4th and 8 at the 38-yard line, you have to take those 3 points. And we're not going to be good enough not to take those 3 points. And so, like, this was a problem for Frost in 2019, I think it was, where the kicking game had no answers and we weren't nearly good enough. We would just go for it on 4th and 4 at the 42,
Right.
and then we wouldn't get it, and then we'd turn the ball over. So, like, we just can't do that again. So that's my
Well,
concern with special teams.
the only th and I to I forgot to mention this too, is just holding on to the damn ball. Turnovers last year were such a freaking issue, and that's one thing that we have got to get under control this year. And it sounds like, just, I mean, Coach Rule says all the right things. It sounds like, and Satterfield for that matter, says, like, if you turn the ball over, you're out. So I'm hoping that they've finally got that. That's been a problem going back years, even before Frost. So big issue. Hopefully they get that under control.
If Ohio State fans want to just Google, like, Nebraska football turnovers, like, it's mind-boggling. I think we far outpace anyone of the last 20 years in terms of, like, turnover margin. Like, just by simple sheer luck, you would think they wouldn't be as bad as it's been, and it's been awful for Nebraska. So.
All right, let's look at this mighty schedule you guys have. You start the year off with
Win,
Utah.
win. Oh, sorry.
Hold on. Deion Sanders comes into town. We do. Little Neon Deion. Old rivalry. Love it. I love old rivalries. They get brought back up, and I love that stuff. With a new twist, right? Okay. So, that game's interesting. That's a game you should win, right? Like, you guys believe you should win this game, correct?
We I mean I could I, No. I mean, I could never say that we should win a game. I mean, because we most of the time we don't win those games. And last year we didn't win that game. And I feel like everybody thought we were going to win that one as well. So I don't say we should win, but can we win it? Yes. Should we win it? I don't know. I would say, yes, we can. But I don't think you should ever say we should win that game.
Here's what I would say on Colorado. We talk about this on our show a lot. There's games that you can say – I might have made this point already tonight. There's games that you could say we could have won that game, and there's games you could say we absolutely should have won that game. In the Frost era, we played Colorado in 2018 and 2019. In 2018, we just tripped over our overalls like 17 times in the fourth quarter to give that game away. In 2019, we blew a 17-point halftime lead. We absolutely should have won both of those games. I think what concerns me about this year's Colorado team is I think they're going to be similar to last year. I don't think they're going to be that good. I don't think they're going to have a winning record. I don't think they're going to go to a bowl game. However, it's to your advantage to play them later in the year when you get a sense of
yeah,
I think they will have defeated
exactly, and they will have some athletes and playmakers, and they will be able to probably design some plays and score some points and that sort of thing. So getting them in game two scares me a little bit. Here's what I'd like to believe, Eric. What I'd like to believe is that these programs are two ships passing in the night, Coach. And this is what Nebraska fans firmly believe. I think Coach Rule is building a foundation, a program built on solid rock, a foundation. We don't raid the transfer portal. We focus on development. We're here for the long term, and like we're building a solid program. Whereas we want to believe that Colorado is this flash in the pan culture built on sand, 60 transfers in and out every season, which is about what they've done. I hope that's true, you know, yeah. But I'm a little worried. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to come into Lincoln with. I want to see us knock them in the chin strap. I want to see us knock them off the ball at the line of scrimmage. Nebraska should win that game. Even if they score some points, even if they run past us on a few trick plays or something, but we better be the more physical team. But I don't know what to say on the Colorado game.
You're right, TJ, because last year, they're coming off that TCU victory. We caught them right in the middle of Colorado mania. You remember that? Like, I mean, Fox was covering their games even when they weren't broadcasting from there. They were still doing the big noon kickoff from Colorado, and then they were having another game on television. So I think this year, at least at the very minimum, I feel like it's stacked in our favor that it's at Memorial Stadium. It's at night. It's going to be loud. People are going to be jacked. So I'm hoping just that home field advantage is going to give us a big, big time edge this time around.
Let me tell you. So it's a night game. It's a night game in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. We haven't beat Colorado. We own that series historically, but we haven't beat them the last three times we've played them. All common, 90,000 common fans are going to be frothing at the mouth, like convulsing. Like that atmosphere is going to be electric in Lincoln that night. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I am too. I actually think you guys have one of the best entrances in football. I think it's pretty cool. So
good.
Week three, you guys take on Northern Iowa. There's a rumor that the corn in Iowa is better, and the corn in Northern Iowa apparently is especially good.
Sandbagging son of a bitch.
Just wait till we get to Iowa. Then you go on the road for the first then you get Illinois at home.
Yep.
Before going on the road for the first time against Purdue. Purdue's tricky, guys. Like, I think they're going to be better than what their record's going to be this year because their schedule is murder's row for Purdue. Murder's row. But, again, I'm probably going to pick you guys to win that game. Same with Illinois. Then you get a bye. Then you're at Indiana. That's a win. You're at some team called Ohio State that Geoff thinks somehow you're going to win.
Yeah, we've heard of that.
Scrub-ass team. We'll take care of it. Who's Ryan? What elderly person is Ryan Day going to call out after that game? I'm just curious.
Angry Ryan Day. Did that shirt come out after he called out Lou Holtz?
Yes.
Is that when that shirt became
Actually Ryan Day pointing his finger at Greg Schiano when they went the fisticuffs on the sideline.
Yes.
And I took that and I made an artwork out of it.
Well, so, we can get behind that. Yeah.
So the funny saying is there any old people with your program that can say bad things about Ryan Day? Because we like angry Ryan Day. And then you take on UCLA, who will absolutely be in the cellar in the Big Ten this year.
I think they're going to be a dumpster fire this year.
Have you seen how many miles they travel? They travel two times more than just next to Oregon and USC. They travel more than anybody else in college football, and it's not even close. Really? They start the season on the road at Hawaii. That's not next to Los Angeles like people think when you look at the map. It's closer to Japan than Los Angeles, okay?
That's wild.
That's how they start their season.
I just did a write-up. It's actually not public yet, but I did a write-up on the new teams coming to the Big Ten. And so I did a little bit of research on this. Chip Kelly, who almost won a national championship at Oregon, was 35-34 at UCLA. I mean, he could just never quite put it together at UCLA. He had three winning seasons, three losing seasons. And he basically gets a self-imposed demotion to go be an offensive coordinator at a great program. Don't get me wrong, but he's a head coach in LA at a house on the beach. And he decided to go be an offensive coordinator in Columbus, which is a lovely town. But I'm fascinated by how hard it is to win at UCLA anymore. Their athletic department as a whole has operated in a deficit for 5 years now. They went and got a guy who's never even been a coordinator, let alone a head coach. I know he's an alum.
But he does know that UCLA's in Los Angeles.
He does know that UCLA's in the same city as USC.
If that gave the fan base any confidence, it was that Big Ten presser he gave.
We don't need to beat the horse dead on UCLA, but I think Nebraska's by the time also they come to Nebraska on November 2nd. I hope it's -20 degrees that day. Yeah. I just hope we just beat them.
They get off the plane together. Miserable. They're like, yes. I don't want to be here. What are
exactly.
we doing?
Exactly.
Yep. By number two on November 9th, then you go to Los Angeles to take on USC on November 16th. And by then I think USC is going to be checked out.
Hope so.
That's interesting. I also think that the hype on USC is overblown.
Oh yeah.
I think they could be good this year, but I think here's my question on Lincoln Riley. We know he's a good coach, but he inherited the keys to the Cadillac at Oklahoma and he kept it running to his credit. He kept it running. Can he build a college football playoff program on his own? I think that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to know if what their offense is going to be like without Caleb Williams. And then are they just going to have a defense, period? Like, are they just going to have
they
one this
couldn't,
year?
They couldn't tackle last year. You watched the USC game last year. They could not tackle. It was embarrassing. So I don't – like, you might. They might be better on D this year, but I don't think you fix that in 1 year.
They had a Ohio State cast-off in Bryson Shaw as their safety, who we all were like, dude, he's awful. And they were like, he's going to fix our defense. And we're like, no, he's not. anyways, here, mark this down. I think Rutgers goes into Los Angeles a couple weeks before you guys get them. I think Rutgers goes into Los Angeles on a Friday night and beats them by 2 scores.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I do. I think Rutgers will just run it down their throats with Manungai, and they will not be able to stop it. And Greg Schiano will have a defense drawn up that frustrates them. And I think USC loses that one. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose to you guys as well.
Love that.
Then you get two old Big Ten West rivals against Wisconsin, who is eerily very similar stages of their rebuild as you guys are. So very similar type teams. And then you're at Iowa. And when I interviewed a Joel from the 12 Saturdays podcast, he's a big Iowa fan. I did not realize how much hate there is between Nebraska and Iowa. Holy smokes.
It has definitely developed into a real rivalry.
It is real. Like next to Ohio State and that team up north in the Big Ten, I might say Iowa-Nebraska's a close second.
I think that's fair. So here's what's interesting about Iowa. Nebraska fans, rightly so, Nebraska fans look down their nose at Iowa. Nebraska fans believe Iowa's never won anything. And Nebraska fans believe that Iowa is sort of, I hate to say little brother, because they'll throw that back in our face because they've won a lot recently. But like Nebraska fans don't, like, they don't look at Iowa as being on par with Nebraska because of sort of historical reference, right? And then we come into the Big Ten and we beat them in 2011 and we beat them in 2012. We lose in 2013, but then we beat them in 2014. So we beat them 3 out of our first 4 years in the Big Ten. And so it's one of those things where this sort of affirmed our belief about Iowa. Since then, let's see, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, that's 9 years. They've won 8 of those 9. And so, like, that is infuriating for Nebraska fans. It is painful for Nebraska fans. I will also say the year we did beat them in 2022, we weren't very good. I think we ended up 4-8, but we kept them out of the Big Ten title game. So all this stuff has thrown fuel on the fire. I think there's a ton of, and then I think from the Iowa perspective, they're like, these guys live in the past. They live in the 90s. They haven't been good since they joined the Big Ten. And like, it, like, that gets under Husker fans' skin. Husker fans get under Iowa fans' skin. And I think what we've said is, I think the other thing that keeps, like, that Husker fans will say on this is, well, it's not the same as Oklahoma. It's not the same as Colorado, some of our traditional rivals from the Big 8 and the Big 12. What we've said on our show is, let's embrace it, because we came into the Big 10 with no history with anybody. And I think one thing we didn't think about was the time that it takes to develop those rivalries and develop that history. And now we've got this Thanksgiving weekend rivalry game, cool, you know, that everybody looks forward to. And candidly, even though, like, we lost a bunch of games to them, they're always pretty much always close. They're always like battles that come down to the wire. And let me just throw out there, I mean, we've had our worst football team since the 1950s. They've had their best football teams ever, and they've barely beat us. So, like, we're going to get this right. We're going to get this fixed very soon. We're going to start winning this game regularly again. Let me be clear on that. But, like, they hate us. We hate them. I think it's good. I think it's healthy. It's good for college football. And I think we play, like, we play that Friday, that day after Thanksgiving, which there's not a lot of games that day. And so I think it's just like a lot of people eating Thanksgiving leftovers tend to tune in to Iowa, Nebraska. And Nebraska fans love that sort of thing when people in other states are paying attention to us.
Yeah, it's neat. It's cool. The timing of it. Although I need to update or upgrade the rivalry trophy. And I've got a suggestion for you. I think you get rid of whatever trophy you guys are playing for. I think it's got a pretty good meaning to it.
Heroes Trophy, sponsored by Hy-Vee, a local grocery store chain. Okay.
Let's get rid of it. Let's make this thing a sickle. That's the trophy. And you call the rivalry the Children of the Corn.
Damn. I'm down. I like that.
Look at you, Boggs. Look at you.
I got all kinds of good. If I could be the czar of college football, we'd have it fixed overnight. I'm telling you.
And listen, we believe that. We believe in you. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Let's make it happen.
We're going to have to run it past the Common Fan Board of Directors first, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Let's call it the Children of the Corn. Let's bring back the sickle, you know, make this thing happen. All right. So that being said, let's wrap this thing up here real fast. Because I got Northwestern coming in 8 minutes after you guys. Yeah, it's a busy night for Boggsy. So, given that schedule, give me your floor, which is the ultimate worst case scenario, and your ceiling, the very best case scenario, given this schedule. Geoff, I'll start with you I think you're going to be the most level-headed with your answer.
I am, actually. You're going to find that I'm going to be actually.
You son of a bitch.
I'm going to say the floor at worst is 6-6. I mean, I know that takes us to a bowl game, and we shouldn't be complaining about that because we haven't been to one since 2016. But I do feel like that's going to be – it's still going to be a disappointment, but that's going to be my floor is 6-6. But I will say best-case scenario, 10-2, because we're going to maybe – No, I'm going to say 11-1. I take that back.
I was going to say, didn't you predict 11-1?
Yep, I take that back because we are going to beat Ohio State. I will have, you know, my extra small Speedo with the Nebraska emblem on it sent to you in the mail. So I'll get that ready for you. So I would say our only loss on this schedule, you think we're going to beat them? I'll say USC. I'll say we'll lose to USC.
Nice, Geoff. Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's actually a more optimistic take than Geoff's ever offered on our show. So I'm glad to hear it, though. I'm going to go. It is funny you say it because we recorded an episode today, Eric, like Geoff mentioned, that is not out yet. And our guest made the point that he's like, everybody is going through this schedule. Like Nebraska fans are saying, well, we should beat Illinois. We should beat Purdue. We always beat these teams in the last 10 years. It hasn't been that easy for us. Right. But I'm going to say our floor is 6-6 as well. Just because I think the defense is going to take a step. I think our defensive line is going to be one of the best defensive lines in the country. I think overall we could have – like we were number 11 in total defense last year. So I think we could very easily have a top 10 defense this year. And again, I think the offense, not only do we have Dylan Raiola recently named the starter – but we went and got a bunch of dudes in the transfer portal and as high school recruits. We all know those don't always pan out, but I think we got enough of them that enough of them will pan out to make a difference. Yeah, exactly. Enough of them will pan out to make a difference on offense. Again, we don't need this offense to be top 10. We need the offense to be average. We need to be top 50 or top 60, and we probably win. You know, we were 5-7 last year, so we certainly win at least one more game with an average offense. So I'll say 6-6 is the floor. We did a predictions episode, and I went 10-2, so I'll say 10-2 as the ceiling. Here's the heart. Like Husker fans can talk themselves into anything, which Geoff always mentions.
Prediction.
So you go through this schedule, and it's like Ohio State to me is the only like. Super likely loss, even though Geoff disagrees with that. Everything else, we can win just about every other game. We can also lose just about every other game, other than maybe the other two non-conference ones, other than Colorado. And so, like, in our recent experience, just makes us feel like Lucy with the football and make us have PTSD a little bit. And so, I think Husker fans will be thrilled anywhere from like. 7-5 to 9-3, I feel like is kind of the window of like Husker fan happiness. Even 7-5 at this point might be a disappointment.
I was just going to say, I think 7-5 would piss a lot of the fan base off.
Yeah, that might be a disappointment. But we just have to remember, like, as painful as it is to admit, as great as we were for a long time, we are a rebuilding project now. We have to, like, to get back to what we think we are, we can't do that overnight. And so hopefully Rule can go from 5-7 to 8-4 or 9-3. But if we get to 7-5 in a bowl game, there has to be some grace there because of where we've been. Right. Yeah. So I'll say 6-6 is the floor. 10-2 is the ceiling. If we get that upset in Columbus though, then we'll see it. We'll see in the playoff.
You'll see all of me wearing Geoff's super extra small Nebraska Speedo, apparently.
And I will watch that entire episode, Eric.
No one will. Everybody will be checked out. Trust me. All right. So before I let you guys give your plug on where to find you, I'll give you my quick prediction. And so I have the OHL podcast Tumblr. I'm going to toast to you guys tonight. I'm drinking the Rule-Aid. I've went through the schedule. I've got you guys at 9-3 this year.
All right. I thought you were going to say. Yeah. I thought you were going to say 8-4.
No,
but we'll take 9-3.
I got you at 9-3. Like in that. Fact, I'll tell you, I got you guys going. Starting off, I got you guys undefeated coming to Columbus.
Yes. Woo. Yes.
And that then, would be awesome. And then I have you losing the two last road games on the year at USC and at Iowa. But that's where I've got you guys. So I think you guys have the right coach. I think every time I've heard him talk, I believe what he's saying. I think he's genuine. Yeah. I think the players are bought in. I think you guys have made some serious upgrades. And I think Dylan Raiola is the real deal. I liked him when he was committed to Ohio State. I think it's the best quarterback you guys have had there in a long time. And again, I think defensively you guys have flipped the switch there. And I think offensively, If you can just move the football and not turn it over and win field position, you're going to win a lot of games. So 9-3 is where I got you guys at. And
love it.
And I'll be sending this thing to Lincoln here, I think, this season.
Son of a bitch.
Yo, oh, if we
you're go, getting a free beanie. You're sending me a used Speedo. What are you talking about?
Hey, look, if we go into Columbus 7-0, even if we lose to Ohio State, if we're 7-1 through 8 games, like, we're dancing in the streets, baby. Oh, yeah. I'm not gonna be too down about
that. Yeah. Game will be big noon kickoff.
Oh my god. Game day, big noon kickoff, whatever. Yeah.
Huge.
That will be that, yeah, absolutely.
All right, TJ, tell everybody where they can find the Common Fan. If there's a Nebraska fan who stumbled on this and haven't seen your guys' show yet before, or if there are some Buckeye fans who like to follow you guys, tell them where they can do that.
Absolutely. Find us on YouTube. Just search Common Fan Podcast, and we'll come right up. You can also find us just about anywhere you get your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeartMusic, etc. You can also we also have a free newsletter, so we're putting out written content as well. You can find all this in one place at our new website, commonfan.co, www.commonfan.co. Eric, if I could really quickly also put in a plug, we've got a sponsorship from a great Nebraska beef company.
Yes, I love this.
Certified Piedmontese. So you can get 25% off Certified Piedmontese. Go to cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. You can get 25% off Certified Piedmontese beef. You can get CP beef shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. And it's fantastic Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sandhills region of the state.
So I recommend all of you be like me. Let's order us some beef. Let's grill up the nice steak and watch the Buckeyes give Geoff some tears as Ohio State destroys Nebraska this year, guys. Thank you so much, guys.
Listen, if you will order from cpbeef.com using the code COMMONFAN, then Geoff won't even cry. We'll be thrilled.
We'll be happy about it. But made my day.
Good deal. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, right, take care, man. Good to see you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later, man. Appreciate you.
Yep, all right, thanks. Later.
See ya.
And welcome back, and thank you to the Common Fan for coming on the OHIO podcast and previewing the Cornhuskers. All right, Chris, the bobblehead trophy is going to be epic, but I cannot picture myself coming on here in a super small Speedo and recording a podcast with a Speedo on, but that is the bet. If we lose, Boggsy's wearing a Speedo.
I feel like that would be a good night for maybe JR to sit in.
Let's just say Ohio State better not lose that game. All right, let's take a look at the Nebraska roster, shall we? And let's start with the offense first as we pull up our lads for all of you guys. All right, so let's start right there at the quarterback position. Dylan Raiola, 5-star, number one recruit in the nation, goes to the family, gets the family discount there at Nebraska, and they pull in Dylan Raiola. He wins the starting job as if there was ever any doubt he would. And he's your starting quarterback. Some other names I think you need to keep your eye on is look at the tight end position. Thomas Fedone II, I think, is one of the better tight ends in the conference. He's a name you need to know. And then the wide receiver room, they bring in some transfers to go with Jalen Lloyd. I'm not super scared of the wide receivers. And I think the running back room is going to be kind of a work in progress for them, to be honest with you. Offensive line, again, is it the best in the country? No. Do they got some good guys? Yeah, they do. So this offense, Chris, to be honest with you, when you look at what they're bringing to the table, doesn't scare me. I think it's a year away.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, now I do like some of the pieces. I do like Dylan Raiola and what he brings to the table. As you mentioned, Fedone, absolutely fabulous talent, tight end. They got a couple young guys that are on the bench too, in specifically the running back Daniel Kalen, who's a freshman who You know, I don't think he's going to get much play,
man.
I don't even know if he's going to get a lot of time this year, but I think he's a guy that's a talent that can, you know, make a difference there. And in the wide, the offensive line, I mean, obviously, you've got the senior transfer, Micah Mazzucco, I believe it is, Mazzucco.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented offensive lineman. But this is a team that I think the defense.
Mazzucco.
There we go. But this is a team that I think the defense is going to have to play well and keep them in games, because I think they are going to just have to be opportunistic with their offensive scoring.
And I agree with you 100% on that. But here's the thing. This defense is good. That's the thing. Let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball now. Let's go up front. You got Butler, Hutmacher, and Robinson. And if I mispronounced his name, I apologize. And then at the Jack, they have a Jack position as well. So all of us Buckeye fans are familiar with that.
Go ahead with that one, Eric.
Umen Mielen.
We'll go with that. We'll just call him Prince.
Prince Will.
Just Prince.
Mielen. Yeah, just the Jack, the position of Jack, the position formerly known as Prince. I don't know. Linebacker, got some good guys there. And then the defensive secondary is also very good. Singleton, Hartzog, Buford, Gifford.
Tommy Hill is very good as
well. Tommy Hill is extremely good. So that was the one I wanted to highlight. I think he's the heart and soul of this defense. And I think defensively, Nebraska not only proved themselves a year ago and they return a lot of those pieces, but I think defensively, Nebraska could be one of those teams, Chris, that if you're not careful, they're going to get you.
Yeah.
This is a Nebraska team that kept them. This defense kept them in a lot of games. And if they would have just had an offense that was halfway serviceable last year, they would have been good. They were one of the worst offenses efficiently in the nation last year. Mm-hmm. And they still almost went 6-6 because of this defense. And this defense is returning a lot of pieces. So keep that in mind when you think about if they can just get a little bit more from Dylan Raiola in this offense, where this team might be at the end of the season.
Well, you know, and I used the word opportunistic earlier when I said the scoring, Eric, and this is a defense that's going to be opportunistic. This is a defensive backfield that can take balls away. They're very good at breaking up passes, but they are ball hawks and they will get to the ball. So if you put one up there and you don't have it on the money, they're going to get that ball. Specifically, you know, we talked Tommy Hill, love Isaac Gifford, what he brings to the table. Man, this is just, I think this defense, I'm not going to say it's top five in the country, but I will say it has potential to be top five in the Big Ten.
All right, let's take a look at this schedule and give you our predictions. They start the season off against UTEP, and then they host Colorado and Neon Deion Sanders. It's an old school Big 8, Big 12 rivalry for them, and this is a game they absolutely need to win, in my opinion. They if they can beat Colorado in week two, sandwiched between two auto dubs in UTEP and Northern Iowa, watch out. I think the Cornhuskers could go on a roll. They get Illinois at home, and then they go on the road against Purdue. Those are two teams they beat last year. Then what is – circle this one. This might be a scary big game for both these teams in Rutgers and Nebraska. Now, I think Nebraska, this is going to be one of two losses for Rutgers on the season because it is in Lincoln. They get a bye. They go to Indiana and then to Ohio State. There is a very real possibility, Chris.
They're both undefeated going
on October 26th. Nebraska might be undefeated coming into the Shoe.
That's possible. I'll tell you what, I think both Rutgers and Nebraska are undefeated going into October 5th. And you know what? Like you said, if Nebraska can get past Rutgers, I don't see another team on there that I think can stop them.
A UCLA will not be a challenge on November 2nd. Then they get their second bye. They go to LA. And by then, I think USC might be checked out. Then they host Wisconsin and go to Iowa to finish the year.
That's rough.
That is rough.
Finnick is tough.
Mm-hmm. The over-under from Vegas for Nebraska this season, they're going to go with one game more than they went with last year. Remember last year, they said this is a 6.5 win team. This year, they're saying it's a 7.5 win team. Chris, my prediction is 9-3, 6-3 in the Big Ten. That's the same prediction JR gave. You're saying not so fast, but still pretty doggone good. 8-4 overall, 5-4 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think Rutgers was the one we disagreed on.
Okay, that makes sense. If Nebraska is 8-4, I think their fan base is going to be happy.
And they should be.
And if Nebraska is 9-3, I think their fan base is ecstatic.
You know, Eric, you look at this schedule, though, and, you know, we keep talking about there's a path for Rutgers to go undefeated. If Nebraska gets past Rutgers,
hold on tight.
There's a path to, I think, a 10-2, possibly even an 11-1 season.
You know, Nebraska. It's in that Nebraska-Iowa game at the end of the season. Huge. Might have more riding on that than that rivalry game has had since it started.
There literally could be playoff implications from that game, Eric.
That's wild to think about. That's absolutely wild to think about.
I don't think there will be, but there could be.
There might be someday. I think here's my prediction, and I think Nebraska fans are going to love to hear this, and Iowa fans are going to argue with me, but that's okay. Iowa fans are literally half a step below fans from that team up north, in my opinion. They really are.
But it's a big half a step.
Yeah. But Nebraska is trending up. Iowa is trending the opposite direction.
You want to bet?
Yeah. You don't think
I'm talking about the Iowa betting scandal, Eric.
Oh. I was slow on that one. I'm like, what are you talking about? You disagree?
No, you're definitely right. Nebraska is definitely moving in the right direction. And I think we're at the point where, you know, we've talked about it, where we thought maybe Urban and Saban, the game had been passing them by. I definitely believe the game has passed Kirk Ferentz by. I think it did probably a decade ago. And he is such a great defensive coach. He's been able to stay relevant because of that. But I just don't see Iowa under Kirk Ferentz at this point doing anything over the course of the next decade.
Some are going to disagree with you and say he's going to get there this year, but no. I just.
They will not see a playoff under Kirk Ferentz.
It's just two teams going in two completely different directions, in my opinion. And I'm fine with that. Like I said, I'm fine with that. Like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it. If you are a Nebraska fan, by all means, go check out The Common Fan. Give them a follow, please. Let us know what you think in the comment section below. If you're a Nebraska fan, do you like our takes? I'm assuming you will. If you're an Ohio State fan, do you think we're off our rocker when it comes to Nebraska? Or do you see them trending like Chris and I do? Or do you think we're a little bit maybe overly positive on them in 2024? You know, they don't have the star power and names with recruiting, but Matt Rhule's got some juice, and he's got this roster looking better. And if they just have the ball bounce their way instead of against them, they very well could end up 8-4, 9-3. So, and Chris said there is a path there for them to go into that game against Iowa with 9-10 wins already. That would be wild. So, Let us know what you think in the comment section below. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel. It really does help us out. And give us that thumbs up. That does as well. And ring the bell and get notified every time we go live. We're going to be going live a lot more this season. We're going to have a lot of content coming your way all year long, guys. Until next time, OH.
Hi-o.
Go Bucks.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.